Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Cardinals down to their last out. Big crowd at Wrigley. Bounce to first. Glove by Bush. Underhand feed to Neris. Cubs win. Cubs win the ball game. 1-2-3 inning. Neris gets the save. And the Cubs have made it 2 in a row over St. Louis, extending their overall winning streak to 3 in a row, going back to the finale in Cincinnati. But things are looking up for this Cubs team, Ron.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Hour number two here with you on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Anthony Herron, I was listening live as Pat Hughes made that call here on The Score. You heard it here as the Cubs won their third consecutive game, and they did so in probably more dramatic fashion than they would have hoped, but they got the job done, and that's what mattered for their third consecutive win. First two games of the series against the Redbirds. So now, a chance to get the first three against St. Louis. I'm taking you up to Cubs pregame here on The Score. Anthony Herron, my guy Tyler Farengold, on the ones and twos for me throughout the show here. And as we prepare to take you up to Cubs pregame, we figure it's probably a good opportunity to go out to the hotline and preview what's happening with the Cubs, give you the latest. And all guests join us on The Score hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. And the current guest, it's my guy, Andy Martinez. He is on social at amartinez_11, the Cubs writer for Watch Marquee, the Marquee Sports Network. What's happening, Andy? How's it going, man?
Hey, man. I'm doing well. How are you?
Fantastic. I've been telling folks for the last couple of days here my anticipation for this weekend of sports because of the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinement that is currently delayed, but that we look forward to witnessing the day with the three Bears that are on their way in, with all the Olympics happening, and in my household is a big deal. We watch the Olympics pretty much cover to cover, as much as we can take in, and you know, the time zone difference makes that a little bit difficult sometimes, but we consume as much of it as we can. But then also, now the Cubs are looking like a team that has remembered how to play baseball, I suppose. What would you credit, Andy, for part of this, at least this stretch now of a few games in a row that we're seeing the Cubs look like the team that everyone felt like they had the potential to be?
It's come down to their offense, right? They're hitting with runners in scoring position. They're putting up crooked numbers. They're hitting the ball out of the ballpark. I mean, it's like all the recipes that you kind of thought that this offense had when the season began. And really in April, they did that, right? They started off hot. They were 8 games over 500. Their offense was rolling. The starting pitching was kind of the question mark, and it was like, well, if the starting pitching can get a little bit better, you know, who knows what can happen. Well, the starting pitching got really, really good and has been really, really good this whole season. It's just the offense that has struggled for large, large chunks of this season. And now you're seeing the offense kind of turn it around. Maybe the uncertainty that was leading up to the trade deadline, that's gone, like maybe that's helping a little bit. But I also think like the impact of Isak Paredes definitely helps, right? A guy who hits pretty well overall. And it's just a consistent presence in that middle of the lineup. I think it's a nice addition to this lineup that was sorely needed.
And, I mean, the month of July, even though the wins weren't necessarily consistent throughout the entire month, but there were several areas where the Cubs just started to perform at a higher level. Like, I mean, you know, throughout the entire month of July, the Cubs led the National League in doubles. So you saw more power. You saw more slug in the bats, to your point, Andy. And Cody Bellinger, after the injury, comes back, and he's swinging a hot bat right off the bat. I'm wondering, is there something you're seeing in the approach? Is there something the Cubs themselves have addressed about their approach that they feel like is leading to some of the additional slug we've seen over the past month plus?
It's interesting you mentioned that, because we talked to Cubs hitting coach Dustin Kelly before the game just about like an hour or so ago, and he was talking about, you know, the key to this, the team, and this doesn't go for the Cubs, this goes league-wide, especially in a game of baseball where every single day you can't really ride the highs and you can't, you know, get too down on the lows. And he mentioned about him and the rest of the hitting staff, it's about being the same person every day, because if you try and get too excited when things are going well, or you try and get like too frustrated and too aggressive when things aren't going well, the players, that's the last thing the players want to see, right? Like that's not going to help them have success. So it's being the same presence going in and doing the same thing every day. They're just starting to see more results. They're starting to see more action. I think a big impact is, say, Suzuki, right? He's been hitting the ball, or he's been hitting the cover off the ball a couple of weeks or at least. And he's hit that was always the X factor for this Cubs offense, in the sense that like when he is going, I mean, he can be as good as any hitter in baseball. We saw it the last 2 months of last season. We're kind of seeing it now. Right now, it seems every time he makes contact on the ball, it's going to be hit, you know, hard. He can just do a lot for this offense when he's going well. And we're starting to see Dansby Swanson start to hit a little bit more. Like all these things are compiling to lead to success offensively. And yeah, to your point, like I think it's just they're getting a little bit luckier and they're just hitting the ball square. Like I haven't seen like a whole lot of approach in change. Obviously, returning Cody Bellinger is a big deal, because since he's come off the IL with his fingers still fractured, he's hitting the ball pretty well.
Now, in the talk-off from the other night that they had in the ninth inning comeback, it feels fitting. It's a nice little play on words. Feel free to use it. You don't even have to credit me. But the one run win that they had over the Cards the other night, that was the first game this season that the Cubs came back from two runs or more in the ninth inning for a victory. They'd been 0-38 in that regard prior to that moment. It's not like there haven't been opportunities. They've been there frequently and been close, been on the brink of some of these comebacks and haven't pulled through. How have the Cubs addressed that and now finally coming through with a multi-run comeback in the ninth? Is that the type of thing that can help the Cubs break through now that they've had one of those ninth inning moments?
I think so. And I think it's nice to see that, because to your point, I feel like there's been, at least anecdotally, there's been so many of those games where it's like the ninth inning and they're trailing by three and you're like, well, this game's over. And then they get two guys on and they advance them to second and third. And you're like, oh, they might do something. And then the threat kind of dies there. It's happened so many times that like, I was almost expecting that the other night, where it's like, well, they got the home run from Bellinger and then Nico got that single, but Dansby had two strikes. It's like, oh, it's not looking good. And things just got extended. And, you know, I've felt, at least through, especially like in June and July when things were really going poorly, like the luck had to turn, right? Like the numbers, the statistics, like say you can't always be this bad, but it just never turned. And like maybe now it's the time where it's finally turning. The question is like whether or not it's enough time to kind of turn it around to try and make a run at a postseason spot. But like, I think part of it's just like they're finally getting some luck on their side, but they're also just hitting they're playing well offensively, like we've talked about.
to have Pete Crow Armstrong starting to, you mentioned some of the bad luck that had been there. He seems like a guy that's starting to hit the ball harder, and we've seen the way that he runs the bases here and still has yet to be thrown out at the major league level this season. Is he an example of some of the development that the Cubs have been hoping for that's maybe come a bit slower than the results of this season could have utilized, but now that there's some signs that not only Bush, who's in the Rookie of the Year conversation, but PCA could be pieces of this thing moving forward that the Cubs can look to continue building around?
Yeah, of course. And then it's funny, like you took the words almost exactly verbatim of what Dustin Kelly said earlier. You know, he mentioned with PCA, I think a lot of people thought that the development in the major leagues, like it would be quicker. I mean, I certainly thought he wouldn't be struggling even up to this point. Had I known he would have started with the big leagues basically in like May or June. The struggles have been real, and really the bottom of the order struggles have been really, really real. Right, the catching position has been a struggle point for the Cubs. Dansby Swanson struggled for a large swath of the season offensively, and then PCA in center field. To your point, so like that was three spots, the 7, 8, 9 spots where it's like we'll. You're not getting a lot out of there. It was really shortening the game for the opposition, right? They knew starting pitching wise or from the bullpen that they, at the bottom of the lineup, they had for the most part three outs that they could work with. That's easier for a team to game plan and to just attack. Like you can go around some hitters in the 5 or 6 spot because you know that 7 through 9 is a little bit more favorable. But yesterday's Friday afternoon's game was a prime example of like what can happen if those guys start hitting. The 5-run inning that the Cubs had in the second inning against the Cardinals, that was primarily all done by the 7, 8, 9 guys, right? Dansby beat out a little dribbler to third, PCA gets a single, and then Bethancourt, the backup catcher, hits a 3-run home run. That's kind of what has to happen. Like, you can't rely on Michael Bush and Cody Bellinger and Seiya Suzuki all season long because they're going to, like, it's baseball. Everyone's going to have slumps. Everyone's going to have probably at the end of the year, they're going to have like a total of like 1 month at least where you're saying like, that wasn't my prettiest baseball. And the hope is that in that time you had someone else step up, and that's what you're hoping can happen with this bottom of the order.
Andy Martinez, Cubs writer for the Marquee Sports Network, my guest here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You can find him on social at amartinez_11. And as great as the starting pitching has been for the bulk of the season so far, the bullpen was a huge problem in the initial months. And now, looking at that month of July again, even the bullpen has been incredible. A 1.38 ERA since June 27th, leading the majors by far. It speaks to me. It makes me curious. Like, I want to address the bullpen specifically, but between the pen and the additional slug, I'm wondering, man, like why didn't the team dominate in July with some of the corners that seemingly got turned here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a couple of two hot stretches in July where things were really going well. Right before the trade deadline, they were scoring a lot of runs. I think that impacted the July numbers. The bullpen has been consistent throughout. Yeah, like you mentioned, the June 27th date, like since that day, they've been very, very consistent. I believe like right around that time, or maybe it might have been a little bit later, was like Hector Neris' last blown save. And since then, he's had like 3 walks. That was a huge issue for him earlier in the year. He's kind of stabilized and gotten the closers rolled down. Porter Hodges developed into a really trustworthy leverage arm. They traded away Mark Leiter Jr., but they've got some interesting pieces in the bullpen that like, I understand like there were some questions about like why trade Mark Leiter Jr. Like what was the thinking behind that since he's under team control, but like bullpens are so volatile year over year. I mean, last year Merriweather, Leiter, and Alzolay were the three best pieces for the Cubs last season. Alzolay has hardly been a factor this season. Merriweather was hurt for most of the season and is just getting back. Like he's hardly been a factor, and Leiter was good, but he was traded away. Year to year, I don't think there's not really a more volatile position in sports than a bullpen. Like you just don't know what's going to happen, and a bad stretch can really, you know, torpedo a season for a bullpen standpoint. So I think it's just like bullpens are fickle. They're weird. They're eventually going to figure it out. And I think they're figuring it out. But to your point, I think the Cubs and fans for sure would have wished that they would have figured it out like mid-May or something.
Andy Martinez, my guest on The Score, and just a brief update and announcement just to let folks know that we do have an official start time for the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony. That's actually going to take place at 12:30 Central, 1:30 Eastern. Breaking news on 670 The Score is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. So the rain is letting up. It's subsiding in Canton. And so the gates have been open for a few minutes here. And the enshrinement ceremony that was set to start over an hour ago will begin at 12:30 Central, 1:30 Eastern. So I know a lot of folks eagerly anticipating to be able to watch Devin Hester, Julius Peppers, Steve McMichael enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We've been discussing it throughout the show. So we do know it'll be starting at 12:30 for anyone who wants to make sure they are tuned in and locked in for that. The Cubs themselves locked in right now. They've risen out of the basement of the division for the moment here, so that's a good place for them to be, at least not in last place in the NL Central for right now. But what's legit based off of this trade deadline? Do you feel like a realistic goal, Andy, is for the Cubs to be setting themselves up for next season, or is there a reality here where without major additions that didn't get made here at the trade deadline, that the Cubs could try to sort of claw themselves back into a conversation, maybe not for the division, but for having the wild card within their grasp?
Yeah, I mean, statistically, 5.5 games back is what they started the day out of. That's not a whole lot, but there's also not a whole lot of time. That's probably like a game a week, which is theoretically doable. I think from that aspect, like for that to happen, it just has to be what we've seen over the last day or what we've, or the last few days or what we've seen leading into the All-Star break. Like that just has to be the norm. Team that they saw in April, like that has to be the norm to get in there. But, you know, I think the sights are clearly set on how they can build upon leading into 2025 and beyond, because like this team is set up to be like they're not going to be necessarily losing anyone. Like there's Hector Neris and Drew Smyly, guys like that are on expiring contracts. But like this is who the team for the most part is going to be running out come 2025. Obviously, free agency can happen and trades in the offseason can happen that can kind of change things. But like the core nucleus of this team is what we're seeing on the field today. And like I think there is something to building to having a really good 2 month stretch to go into the offseason and build out for 2025. I mean in 2022, they had that good stretch after they traded away Robertson and Givens and guys like that in the bullpen where they kind of figured it out and they had a winning record in the second half. And then last year we saw what happened where they finished the game out of the playoffs. So like, I think there is something to having a good 2 month stretch. And, you know, I think they're hoping that this start can be it. And I will say their September schedule and a large chunk of their August schedule is like very interesting. There's like a lot of teams that pretty much going to be out of it that they're facing. They face like the Rockies, the A's, the Nationals, the Reds, the White Sox coming up this weekend, the Tigers. Like it's a really, really intriguing schedule that like if they go on a crazy run, like it again, that 5.5 game deficit doesn't look so daunting, but they've really dug on themselves a hole where like there's no secret that the goal is 2025 and beyond.
And with Shota Imanaga, he's the player that leads the majors in chase rate as a pitcher. So even when he's not his completely most dominant version of himself, he's still able to go deep into games, and they've done an effective job managing his time out there on the mound and the amount of innings and pitches that he gets. Is there help on the way, though? You know, it's one thing to feel confident that Imanaga will continue to perform at a high level, and he's been out there, but there have been so many injuries. What would be sort of a general update just on the potential help that could be on the way from guys who've been out for an extended period of time here?
Yeah, so guys like Jordan Wicks and Hayden Wesneski and Ben Brown, yesterday Craig Counsell said specifically that he expects them to pitch again in the majors this season. And I think that would be huge to get them back to healthy and pitching in a season. Starting pitching, the young pitching in the Cubs infrastructure, like Craig Counsell said it, he's really excited about it, and there's a lot to like of it, and we've seen flashes of it. Wesneski's looked really good at times. Ben Brown has looked really, really good for almost the whole time he was healthy. Those guys are really, really interesting, but you have to have the veterans like a Jameson Taillon, like a Justin Steele, like a Shota Imanaga to kind of stabilize that, because as we've seen time and time again with young pitchers, like, their development isn't perfect. Like, there's going to be struggles. There's going to be outings where they really, really struggle, and there's going to be injuries that happen like this year. I think the pitching is in a really, really good place that they're going to have more options, I think. And I think they planned on having more options this year. I think the injury bug just really, really struck them. You don't plan on Justin Steele going down on opening day with a hamstring injury. You don't plan on Jameson Taillon having a back injury in spring training that causes him to miss a month. Like, all those little things add up, and you're relying on your sixth and seventh and eighth starters right off the gate. I think they're at a place now where their sixth, seventh, and eighth guys would be like a sixth or fifth option at most other teams. Like, I think a lot of teams would take Ben Brown in their starting rotation right now, or if he was healthy, they would take like a Hayden Wesneski or Jordan Wick. So they're in a good spot that their pitching has been deepened, that they don't have to worry about injuries. And I think that's why you keep someone like Jameson Taillon at the trade deadline.
Well, Andy, it's going to be a toasty day out there at Wrigley. Make sure you stay hydrated, man. Look forward to your writings.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And that is Andy Martinez of the Marquee Sports Network. He's a Cubs writer, and you can read his writings at MarqueeSportsNetwork.com. You can find him on social at AMartinez_11. I am taking you up to Cubs pregame here on The Score. And so with that in mind, we'll have some more Cubs conversation in my final segment with you leading into Cubs pregame. And also a little bit of an Olympics update with some big things that are happening. I know a lot of you eagerly anticipating the Hall of Fame. So we're going to jam-pack a lot into my final segment, taking you up to Cubs pregame here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I mean, we got a huge swing of the bat from Betancourt. I mean, that's what, you know, that's a huge 3-run homers, huge plays in baseball games. And we got a great swing. We had a really good second inning and put pressure on him right away. And then the bottom of the order, Pete, Betancourt, Dansby, contributed to that. And 5-run innings, good recipe to win a game.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
And those crooked numbers going. How you like it on the north side. Maybe more and more of those as this lineup continues to mature. I'm taking you up to Cubs pregame here on The Score. Opportunity not only to listen to the Cubs here on the station, but if you're out and about around town this week, you have an opportunity to watch a wide variety of things, and you can even watch some stuff with Parkins and Spiegel if you so choose. Join Parkins and Spiegel this Tuesday from 2 to 6 p.m. at The Wall in Marcus Gurney Cinema to register to win prizes and tickets and enjoy specials on food and beverages all day. Then at 8 p.m., enjoy the premiere of Hard Knocks on The Wall's big screen. Admission is always free at The Wall. So on The Wall's big screen, I would imagine not only for all the Bears games, preseason, regular season, and who knows, maybe even postseason, be on the big screen at the wall there. Probably makes sense to assume. They probably got some Olympic coverage on the screens at the wall also. I mentioned, I think it was to Andy Martinez a little bit, just talking about the way that my family's been consuming the Olympics so far. I mean, it comes up just every couple years. You know, it finally got to the point where they, as opposed to each the summer and the winter Olympics being on, along the same timeline every 4 years, and so you're waiting 4 years in between Olympic Games. Now you essentially get them every 2 years. You get the summer, then 2 years in the winter, then 2 years, or in this case, 3 years, because they didn't do the Olympics in the 2020 COVID year. So you had the delayed Olympics in 2021 and 2022. So now here we are in 24 with the Olympic Games going on, and the U.S., as usual, well represented. And Simone Biles out there doing her thing. She has now won her seventh career gold medal and the, you know, greatest gymnast of all time. But it's fun to watch her, especially when you're paying close attention to the way that, you know, her athleticism, her explosiveness on an individual apparatus, and how different she looks from some of the others out there competing. You know, I was talking about Julius Peppers, and part of the way that, you know, he is amongst, just being in the NFL, of course, you are amongst some of the elite athletes in the world. But then out of the 32 teams in the National Football League, each of those rosters has a few different folks who are just a little bit different, whose skill set, whose ability level, whose stature, explosiveness, speed, perhaps even size, just go beyond even those elite level athletes who share the locker room with them. And Julius Peppers was one of those types of individuals. And when you watch Simone Biles out there, when she's doing her floor routine after watching other competitors who, you know, are amongst the elite athletes in the world, who are preparing to make the medal stand in some cases, you watch them go, and then you watch Simone Biles go, and she's, you know, 12 feet in the air as she's bounding through and around the sky, or watch her on the vault as she's just, you know, seemingly at a different level of explosiveness and control in the air. You think about being that high in the air and landing with the control, all the force that comes down when you actually land at that point, the force you have to generate to get into the air that high. And yes, the floor routine and the vault provide a little bit of extra spring, but I'm guessing none of you listening to my voice right now would be able to spring into the air as high as Simone Biles and any of these other Olympians do. But then not only to get that height and to contort their bodies in the way that they do, but then the ability to have the control to land and stick the landing in so many different cases. I mean, the greatest gymnast we've ever seen. I had an opportunity years ago to interview Shannon Miller, the previous record holder for career women's gymnastics Olympic medals for the United States. And Simone Biles has now, during this Olympic Games, broken Shannon Miller's career medals record, and now specifically seven golds and counting, because she's not done yet. It's been a lot of fun to see what Simone Biles has accomplished. And in doing so, after the reaction to the last Olympic Games, where so many folks came down on her, and in a lot of cases, folks who, you know, can't wait to rail against somebody for saying anything that would be viewed as, like, you know, anti-American or not supporting someone who's doing something important for the country. And because she, for mental and physical reasons, for her own health, her own safety, you think about, again, being 12 feet in the air. And if you are disoriented while you're up there, the type of grave injury that she would have been setting herself up for. And so she wasn't right during the last Olympic Games. She bowed out. Her team still did excellent, but there was so much hatred that was thrown at Simone Biles on social media, on television shows and radio shows, folks calling her a quitter, calling her an embarrassment. She was already solidified as the greatest gymnast of all time at that point. And now the fortitude to wait for years to decide at an advanced age for a gymnast to come back and go at it again and come back there and now continue to dominate. Like, she's got moves named after her in the gymnastics world, because there's things only she has been willing or able to attempt and complete in competition. And so, I mean, she's been such a fantastic representative for this country and for, you know, the folks who believe they are invested in national pride and love chanting USA. I can't imagine that there would be a better representation than Simone Biles for what fortitude. And yes, there are different degrees of courage, but I think the word courage even fits her willingness to continue to try and respond after what she went through 3 years ago, to come back here and now perform at the level that she's performed at. So I've really enjoyed that in our Olympics viewing so far. So I urge you to go ahead and take that in and continue to watch. The numbers have been fantastic for the Olympics on NBC and Peacock and all their other platforms. But I just wanted to mention that, because we have very much enjoyed it in our household, just watching everything that's been done. When you get a chance to watch the greatest of all time competing at the highest level and being at the height of their powers, I urge everyone to take that in. Urging you to take in the Cubs game that's about to follow my time here on The Score. A couple of thank yous, though. I want to thank Alex Shapiro for joining me earlier to talk about the Bears. Andy Martinez for joining me to talk about the Cubs. And like I mentioned, the Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony is back on, so you can feel free to check that out with some of the Bears greats who are preparing to be enshrined. Looking forward to Devin Hester, Julius Peppers, and of course Steve Mongo McMichael entering some of the all-time greats. My thanks as well to my guy Tyler Farrigal on the ones and twos. And as always, appreciations and salutations to you for listening in to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.